Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend, where we go behind the scenes and talk to the creators of independent entertainment. I'm Jason Godby, and with me in the Rabbit Hole studio today is our very own No Rest for the Weekend correspondent, Miss Ilaria Malvezzi. Welcome, Ilaria.
Hi, Jason. Thank you for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you here. Now, for those of you who have been following us on Facebook and on YouTube, you've seen Ilaria. She's helped us cover film festivals this past year in the summer. So you saw her do the Soho International Film Festival and New York Television Festival. Now we're going to get into the nitty-gritty and do a recap of those festivals.
Ooh.
But before we do that, Ilaria, tell us a little bit about you.
Of course, Jason. So I'm from Italy, although I have no accent at all from the country of Italy.
Yeah, people could tell, I think. People.
I don't think it well enough. I have a background as a professional dancer in physical theater back in Italy. And then when I moved to the States, my artistic career took me to a different path and into acting, where I found my true call, Jason. It was a love affair after the first acting class. And then I graduated at William Esper Studio, and I'm pursuing the career mostly in films. And I am loving it.
And you have a film out that's doing the festival circuit right now.
I do. Directed by our dear friend, Jeremiah Kipp.
Right, who you have also seen here on the program, as well as the episode that we did at Soho, where Ilaria interviewed him.
Interviewed him, yes, what an honor.
So let's get right into it, because we got a lot to cover in
yes.
a short amount of time.
Let's do it.
Talk about Soho first. So just briefly, what were your takeaways about that festival? What were your impressions?
You know, Jason, I left the festivals after the week, and the thought, the word that were coming up to my head was community. I was very proud of the community we have created as filmmakers, and to see colleagues, more aged filmmakers and young filmmakers coming together, support each other, showcase their work, and the work that is behind a film is immense. The common effort, and nobody can do it alone. So they all team up together to create and tell beautiful stories, and to have a festival that give the opportunity to artists to really showcase their work, I think is incredible. And Sibyl, who's the organizer and the creative director, did a beautiful work with organizations, and the planning of it is the 9th edition this year, and it's getting better and better every year.
If you were a filmmaker looking to enter a festival, like, there was a variety of pictures, I thought definitely a wide variety of films. And it was international, because we did have filmmakers from all over the world. If you were a filmmaker, what would make this festival sort of worthwhile for entering?
Well, New York City.
Yeah.
I think it's the greatest platform of all. You know, we have Los Angeles as well, but the heart of New York and the energy of New York, the vibration of New York are just stellar and take everything to a different dimension, I believe.
It's a great place to have your film showcased. So moving on, we're going to get a little bit more in depth, because we weren't able to really do a lot of video for New York Television Festival.
Yeah, I know.
It's a much different festival.
Yes.
Talk about that and the things that you found. Like, what were your takeaways for New York Television Festival?
Well, educational. That's the word for me that I associated, and I did not expect it, Jason. Like, as you said, there were very different festivals. Soho is more like almost glamorous, the after parties, beautifully organized by our friend Ryan Sherman, who's a great event planner. And New York Television Festival was really educational. They organized
lots of panels.
A lot of panels with top executive producers from the top TV cable, CBS Entertainment, True TV, Comedy Central, Thank You Brain Production, like you name it, independent television and cable TV. And these panels were all there to support the artists. And make me really, as a filmmaker myself, as an actor, give me a lot of hopes, because the industry is on our side. And it was very interesting how they said that they are paid to say no most of the time to artists, but they really encouraged us to not take it personal. And it's not a no to us. It's not to our project right now.
Yeah, one thing I thought that was great was they said, you know, take every no as a step closer to a yes.
Yes.
And take every no as sort of a not yet.
Yes.
Because
yes,
the likelihood, and I'll throw some stats at you.
Yes, please.
In the buying season, networks hear about 300 to 350 pitches per season. And on an average, maybe 12 of those become pilots. In a given week, one gentleman from ABC said that they hear about, I think he said about 15 pitches a week.
Yeah.
You know, and the buying season is 300 to 400, 10 or 11 become pilots, and then one or two are actually picked up to become shows. So 85, and then on top of that, 85% of all pilots that are made fail. So, you know, and this is network television. So this is not streaming. This is not Netflix. This is not Hulu or Amazon or many of the other streaming channels. This is all about like network ABC, CBS, NBC, which I thought it was great that they had those folks there. I think it's going to be interesting going forward to see if New York TV Festival gets more of the streaming platforms in there on panels and so forth.
But the greatest news is that how many writers are there creating content and believing in their stories and pitch them and present them and working. It's extraordinary. As storyteller, that's what we do, that's what we love, and there is a lot of material, a lot of material. And one more thing, let me add. That the industry was saying, do not compromise on your story. If you receive a no, don't change the story to make it likable or more possible. Keep writing your own story and then learn how to package them, how to sell them, but keep believing and write from your heart.
I thought the interesting part, it really did seem to be geared toward television writers. They did a lot of stuff. They did gave us some tips on pitching. They had a lot of tips about, you know, this is what a general meeting is as opposed to a pitch meeting. This is what it's going to be like to be in a writer's room for the first time.
Yes.
And if you don't have anything else to add, I want to go into what the – because I think this is good stuff, the pitching tips that we got.
Please. Please, go ahead.
So here's some pitching tips that we received. Now, these all came from – there was a gentleman from Comedy Central – one lady from CBS, one from ABC, and then several other channels who I'm hoping to get some of them on the show at some point.
That would be fantastic.
Would be great. The first tip that we have for you is do your homework. In other words, know who you're pitching and where you're pitching to. Know the network, but also know the person that you're pitching to.
Yes.
And, you know, news stories about them so that you can speak to them on their level and let them know that you're interested in them. You know, this is your meeting to talk about you, but, you know where you're going. The other one they said about the presentation is rehearse the presentation. You know, I was recently at
a monologue.
Absolutely. Like I was recently at the Starable.com fest, and they had a pitch competition.
Oh wow!
Where they had people pitching on stage. You get like 90 seconds, and it's like
wow,
go.
Nice.
And some of these people were actor writers, and they really put on like a show. And you know, people found it very favorable. It's also you know, kind of like showing the enthusiasm that you have for your work.
Yes. Enthusiasm was another word that came up.
Right.
Very often.
Like, if you don't love this thing, nobody else is going to.
Yes, exactly.
So you better
believe in your product.
Right. And know it very well. Know your project inside and out.
Yes.
The other thing they said was sell yourself. That was a big thing. And also,
and
like,
be yourself.
Be yourself.
Yes.
And it helps if you're not a big jerk because they will, you know, the other thing that, you know, they said a lot was like, you know, be nice. Like, and they're working with you. Like, they're looking to hire you. And are they going to, how long do they need, you know, they have to work with you?
Also, they say that very, very often it happens that if you're hired as a writer, many writers become showrunner of their own show, if you are a nice person. But yeah, the same thing happened as an actor for casting directors. Like, they complain about actors being nasty. So why you should be nasty in a work interview, in a job interview?
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is like because...
Tension, maybe.
Well, you're also, we're in the business of rejection. You know, like, so as a writer, you get rejected a lot. As an actor, you get rejected a lot. And you start to build up frustration and anger and emotion.
But you cannot walk in the room with that expectation.
Obviously not, but a lot of people do. And I think a lot of it, too, is like... you know, not to get too psychoanalytical here, but I think a lot is subconscious.
Probably.
Like,
yeah,
you could meet somebody and be like, hey, do you know what you're coming off like right now? And most of them don't know.
Yeah.
Most of them have no idea. Mm-hmm. The other tip that I thought was good was be precise and concise.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just get in there and jabber on about your project. Mm-hmm. They also said, you know, leave room for questions. Let them participate in it.
Yeah.
The thing about network particularly is that they want your idea. They want your idea to be good, but they want your idea to be right for them.
Mm-hmm.
So your idea is going to get changed.
Yes.
And if you're a first-time content creator,
yeah,
you're not going to be a showrunner. You're not going to be in control.
Mm-hmm.
Be ready to have your idea change. Be ready to have them work with you, hopefully for the better. You know, hopefully for the
I'm
better.
I'm tagging to that exactly because you suggested precision in your presentation, but flexibility.
Flexibility
as well
is big. Yes.
Yeah. Also, Jason, I think it was important. They mentioned that this first interview, it's 15 minutes. Usually, it's just a verbal interview. They don't expect you to have a script. They don't expect you to have a pilot. However, if you do have a 4 minutes pilot, make sure it's executed well. Because they want to know that not only you are a creator, you have an idea, but you can execute it. And then it's a step forward.
Right. And so a bad pilot can also work against you.
Yes.
You know, but they're going to want to see examples of your work if you want to be in the writer's room.
Yeah.
The other thing they said was, you know, like we were talking about before, listen to feedback, be open to collaboration. And then the other thing you have to know is how does it fit into their network?
Yes.
Like, what is this? Is it a half-hour sitcom that's going to, you know, be programmed on Wednesday nights?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, you know, is it an hour drama? Is it more geared toward the web?
Mm-hmm.
You know where you're going with it and where you see it. Not that it'll end up there.
Mm-hmm.
It may or may not. But if you have an idea, then, you know, you can help inform them on that.
And very often they say if they see a project, an idea that they like, but it doesn't fit their network, they would make a phone call for you. They would tell you, not for us, but maybe you could contact this network or that network if they know that can be a match.
Yeah. And one of the people, a lady from CBS, she even said, I'm looking for people I might say no to, but I will refer to them to an agent.
Yes.
So if you don't have an agent, but you can get into a network, you might be able to get an agent through working with a network, which is great. I mean, the thing is, and you know, the gentleman from Comedy Central, he was at New York TV, and he was also at Starable.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Listen, we want to say yes. We want you to be good. We want you to walk in there with a great idea
they
that we love."
They are such cheerleaders.
Yeah. And they have to be, in terms of the process, like you're coming in and pitching them, but most of the time they don't have the power to say, yes, let's greenlight this series. They're going and pitching that idea to their higher-ups and to their higher-ups.
Yeah.
So you have to get this person on your side to be your champion.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing they talked about is how am I minimizing my risk?
Yes.
So if you can come in with a project where you have a star or a showrunner or somebody that's already been successful in the industry.
Executive producers.
Yeah, somebody attached that,
yes,
you know, you can sell this. Because, you know, you as a first-time creator, you don't have a lot of credibility.
Yeah.
You know, the people are going to be like, well, yeah, but what have you done?
Yeah.
Now, maybe you've built a great audience on the web,
yes,
you know, or something like that. That's another thing, social media proof they talked about.
But also, and if you don't know how to do that, there are resources, and they were really encouraging the artists to get together. So ask other colleagues, other writers who have done that before, how to find stars, how to find those people that can really help you bringing your ideas to the next step and make it more valuable for the market and more interesting for producers to pick it up.
They really stress networking.
Yes.
They said, listen, you know, at New York TV, this is a prestigious film festival. This is a exclusive club that you're in.
Yes.
Talk to each other, and make, you know, and build your network that
they
way.
They say don't leave this week without having at least met six new people in your.
Yeah, I thought that was I thought that was very encouraging because a lot of people see it like it's competition.
Yeah.
But you know, there might be a director in the room that you're going to work with. There might be a writer in the room that you're going to work with, or a producer.
It's a collaboration. It's collaborative.
And you know, like I met people. There were people there from all over the country. So a lot of people from LA.
Yeah.
That were there. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to get the director of that festival here to talk more about it. But I thought the takeaways were for that it was like if I were to compare the contrast Soho to like Soho was really more about, you know, getting an audience.
Yes.
You know, getting people to come see your screening, networking with people who are there. And it's a little bit of that sort of Hollywood, New York glamour, red carpet, get your picture taken, get some press, get some ink on the movie, get the exposure. Mm-hmm. Whereas as New York television, you know, like basically the way it was set up is they had all the panels and everything were upstairs and then they had the screenings
downstairs.
And it seemed to be way more about the panel discussions and the meetings and the networking than it was about
the process.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I would love to add one thing that also came up throughout the week. It was diversity and inclusion. One of the panels who was the most present throughout the week was Jeannie Mao from SBS Diversity.
CBS.
Yes. Diversity and Inclusion. And she really pushed the writers to consider how important it is to including diversity in your scripts. Because when you see a film, there's a psychology that you don't realize, but to see that the background that we portray a reality that as it is today.
Right. One of the things she talked about was not only people on screen, but people behind the scenes as well.
The background.
You know, she's like, if you really want inclusion, have a crew that's 50% women.
Yeah. And actually, she mentioned Jason, Gina Davis, and I Googled. She has a beautiful website, and she's been doing researches about ethnicity and diversity in films. Mm. And it's very interesting, even more so for younger audience, how more sensitive they are to what they see in the stereotypes that TV presents.
Right.
So you have to be really sensitive.
And being represented on screen.
And how powerful media is and how educational can be, even if we don't realize it.
Absolutely. One of the things that, one of the things that she mentioned was tips for writers is putting that sort of thing in your script.
Yes.
You know, and which I think is difficult because, you know, you could write a part and say, well, this has to be an African American woman. Mm-hmm. But it may not. Like you might find an actor who's not African American but is Hispanic or Asian or something like that who is great in the part. So, I mean, to me, it's a little bit limiting, and I try not to do that in my scripts personally.
Yeah.
But I see what she's saying. Like, if you put it in there, they'll see that she had a great tip in terms of putting it in the script. She said do two passes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So do your first draft, which is just, you know, you writing. And then you go back and you make sort of an inclusion pass, I think she called it. And you try to figure out casting, like, does this
accents.
Have
accents. Italian, maybe.
So, it's like, does this person, this is a mechanic. Does it necessarily have to be a white male? Could it be could it be a woman? Could it be somebody different? And I thought the good thing about all of that is, and it's definitely a slow-moving movement. Now, so I was talking about this with somebody earlier this week, and she was like, yes, Jason, that's what people are saying at these shows. Is it what's really going on in the meeting rooms?
Mm-hmm.
Is it what's really going on in television? And I think it's a slow moving process.
It's happening.
It is happening. I think it's one of those things where
we have to make it happen.
You see it more and more now. Mm-hmm. This never used to be. Like when I was growing up, casts were 90% men. A lot of times in a movie, if there's a female character, she's the ingenue, yeah. She's the love interest, yeah. Or she's the mom, mm-hmm. you know, kind of thing. And then you'd have certain female protagonists. There have mm-hmm. been great female mm-hmm. protagonists throughout mm-hmm. film. But now it's more about, like, down to everything. Like, they even mention, like, background actors, you know, and including people, like, with disabled people.
But this is also why television is groundbreaking right now, because a lot of writers are female, a lot of directors, not as many as we wish, but there are more directors, female directors, and the diversity, ethnicities, accents in television. Right now, it's huge. More opportunities for artists, and also, I believe, more educational.
Well, you know, the other thing that you have in advantage of television, now the average network show is at like 23 episodes a season, mm-hmm. which is a lot of episodes. I mean, to me, I think it's getting to the point where it's a little too many. I would rather see like maybe 12 or 13 as opposed to 20 something.
Depend on the TV show.
Right. But
the one I binge, they're never long enough.
but like when you have that, you have the opportunity. So like if you have 23 episodes, mm-hmm. you can have 12 or 13, a baker's dozen of female directors.
Yeah.
You know, and you can still hire plenty of men, but now you have a different point of view.
Yes.
Recent season of Jessica Jones, which is a Marvel series, mm-hmm. They had all female directors on that. And, you know, previously, you know, in Hollywood, you wouldn't even think that there were that many female directors to hire.
Yeah.
You know, that actually existed. Mm-hmm. And I found out through this show alone, I've been joking lately that I could like dub it the Women in Film, you know, a Women in Film podcast, because I've had so many women on the show. But like, they're out there. And I think for everyone, I mean, of course, you need both. You need men, you need women. But I think in terms of creating a picture, like, it would be great if you saw this in television and in film and nobody cared. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't a thing that was like, it wasn't purposeful. So you're saying, well, you know, this person has to be this person has to be that. It just happened automatically.
Yeah.
I don't think we're there yet. Mm-hmm. So what Jeannie was saying, this woman from CBS who is like their VP of diversity and inclusion,
yes.
Which probably all networks probably have now,
yes.
you know, as
yes.
somebody to sort of mm-hmm. shepherd that, is that you have to be deliberate mm-hmm. about it. Also,
yeah, crazy to think you have to be deliberate about it. It should be so like spontaneous, but we, you know.
Well, it's not the first mode of thinking.
I
also happen to think that there's probably some. It's something people just don't think about,
also,
and this forces you to think about it.
We are in New York, so diversity. For
yeah,
us,
we're not
is
in Kansas.
Exactly. So it's hard to portray New York, if you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
well, some New York filmmakers have actually had been criticized for that, because like if you look at the first 30 Woody Allen films, mm-hmm. it'd be hard to find a person of color in those.
Interesting.
And it's like he shoots everything in New York, and you're like, come on, Woody, like you can't find one person. This New York's literally in background shots. So it's not even anybody, mm-hmm. but you know. That's changing, and I think that was a major thing to come out of the festival. I also thought my biggest takeaway from it was this is a festival about industry,
mm-hmm.
and it's about matching writers up with people that they can develop yeah. relationships with. So if you are a budding television creator,
mm-hmm.
I would say this has got to be a must-send too.
Yeah. Also, I saw a panel with she's a powerhouse, Lisa Ann Walker. She's an actor, a comedian. She has her own show she's been fighting for. It's called Bitter. And not only about having female, but which age?
Mm.
Because the exposure of female on camera changes as they get older. So at 20, 30, over 40, over 50, it decreases tremendously.
They start to disappear.
They disappear.
Yeah.
So
they go extinct like a species.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
But I think I also think that that's going to start to be a selling point in Scripps.
Yes.
Where if you are including people.
I do believe so.
There's going to be people who say, you know what, we need this, which is very cool. And I think it's one of the ways that television, like you said before, is influencing culture.
Yes.
And could also be a driving force. Like you look at a film, look at a show like Supergirl on the CW, and there's so much inclusion, so much diversity in that show, and like nobody, it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's still a superhero show. It's still a lot of fun, and a lot of young people are being inspired by it, which is really cool. So what I would say is I got to wrap up, but before I go, where can people find you on the web, Ilaria?
So my website is www.ilariamalvezzi.com. I am on Instagram, Movenze, and Facebook. Please check my material, my work. I would love to share with you.
Awesome. And if you're digging this content and you want us to see us cover more television and film festivals, let us know. You know, wherever you find this, leave a comment. You can email us through the website, or you can comment on YouTube, Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. Shoot us, hit us up on Instagram as well. But so I got to wrap up. But thank you so much for coming. I really, it was really great having you here. We hope we can do this again.
Always, yes, please.
Thank you for taking this trip down the rabbit hole. As always, you can find more episodes of No Rest of the Weekend on our website, btrp.nyc/podcast. You can also find us on every major podcast network, including Anchor, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and wherever you listen to podcasts. Please remember to like, share, subscribe, and tell your friends about it. Also, once again, love to thank my guest, Ms. Ilaria Malvezzi, who's been a great correspondent for us. For Behind the Rabbit Productions, I'm Jason Godby. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.